through to Daf is Lamed Aleph from Aleph for two lines from the top. Gemara says Tanur Rabbanan Sukkah Gzula. This person stole a sukkah. Ramesachech Rishis Rabim, or somebody set up a sukkah in Rishis Rabim. Rabbi Eliezer Posel. The Chachamim Machshirim. Rabbi Eliezer felt that this was posel, and that Rashi explains why setting up a sukkah in the Rishis Rabim would be a problem. So Rashi writes the top line, last word. You're stealing from the rabbim. You can't just set up shop in the middle of the street. You don't own it. So that's considered stealing from the rabbim.
Is it again a gozen?
Stealing.
Oh, so stealing sukkah.
Yeah. So if I stole your sukkah, I took it, or if I set it up in the middle of the street where that's considered stolen because I don't own that property, Rabbi Eliezer says both cases you're puzzle, and Chacham says, Machshir, no, that's okay. You could use it. So Gemara is going to explain all this, what the machlokas is based on. So before doing that, Amar Rav Nachman Machlokes Bishatokif es Chavero V'hotziu Misukaso. What is the case where they argue about? Where you take your friend, you throw him out of his own sukkah, and you sit down in his sukkah. That's where they argue about. So Gemara explains, Rabbi Eliezer L'tameh, Rabbi Eliezer goes according to his general reasoning, which is, the Amar Ein Adam Yotze Yidei Chavasa B'sukaso Shechavero. As we said before, you can't use your friend's sukkah.
This guy's not his friend, apparently.
Okay, Chavero is somebody in his lifetime. Lav dafka, a friend. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer says, as we said before, that through a hekish of sukkah to lulav, lachem, just like lulav has to be lachem, has to be yours, so to the sukkah has to be, no, not because of that, I'm sorry, because it says tasa lacha, pasuk says, tasa lacha, you should make the sukkah for yourself, you have to use your own sukkah and you can't use your friend's sukkah. So that's why throwing your friend out of his own sukkah and using it will be possible. Now Gemara says, now ikarka nigzela sukkah gzulhi. If Rabbi Eliezer paskins that you can steal karka. Yesterday we saw that we paskin ain karka nigzelas, that you can't steal karka. But we weren't sure that was the general way we paskin. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer himself holds you can. So if you hold that, if you are able to steal property, it's considered stolen. So that's why it's possible, because it's gzula. Even if Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can steal karka, he agrees with the Chachamim that you can't steal it, still it's considered sukkah she'ulahi, so then it's going to be only a borrowed sukkah, and that too Rabbi Eliezer disqualifies because you have to own it, tasa lecha, and not borrowed. Okay, so says the Gemara now, Rabbanon, the Tamai, why did the Rabban permit you to use a stolen sukkah or one set up in the middle of the street? You are allowed to use your friend's sukkah. And further, kark inu nigzels, chum hol, as we saw yesterday, that you cannot steal karka. If I steal the karka, steal a sukkah, which is mechubar lekarka, it's connected to the ground, that's not considered stealing. You cannot steal karka. It's always bechezkas habal. It's always considered in the possession, the ownership of the owner.
So it's not gzula because the karka is not gzula.
Yeah, you can't move it. It's always there. Like the owner just comes back. So only something I could take and put in my pocket or take home with me would be considered something that's according to the Chachamim that you could steal.
Why does the Gemara care according to the Chachamim? If they hold a person can be yotzei the sukkah so shachavera. They don't hold of lacha. They don't hold of lacha like Rabbi Eliezer does by sukkah.
Correct.
So why do they care? Why does the Gemara care if karka is nixalas or in an exalas?
Because then it would be a full of mitzvah babi avera.
Didn't we discuss before why the Gemara didn't say mitzvah babi avera by sukkah? It had to do with it being. What did we say the Gemara didn't say mitzvah babi avera? The Tosfos asked Kasha why the Gemara didn't say mitzvah babi avera. Is that by matzah, or is that by sukkah, or what was that by?
That was by Shera, lulav shel Shera v'shel ir nedachas.
No, like a couple weeks ago.
That's all, it's probably daf tesen on the bottom. Tesen on aleph? I don't have that in my...
It's on the bottom, yeah. What was that?
All the way on the bottom. I can't switch back.
Oh, that was... By the tzitzis?
Came up with that sugya, the tzitzis.
Okay, so it said it's brought by Sukkah also. Achanami, Sukkah, 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 Gemara said that's made my gzula. And Tosos there asked about mitzvah baba vera, you told us.
Mm-hmm.
What did we say? That maybe that was only derabanan, or that was owned. We had a couple terutzim.
Right, I remember derabanan, right.
So if it's only derabanan, then according to Chachamim, even if they hold.
Even if you could steal it, you're saying it should be still be allowed because psul midrash it should be permitted.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're saying this is going like you said to us yesterday, so it's
right.
Midrash. Stadium project, you know, what is the page? 11.
No, I don't doubt. I'm impressed. The new legs, amutet, daftet.
Very good point. Yeah. So there, Chum say they permit you to use a borrowed sukkah and seemingly also a stolen sukkah. Let's see. Does Rashi address this? That Gemara, again, it's so frustrating, I can't turn back. It says on Taf Tes that we only exclude Gzula or Sh'ula?
According to the Rabbanan, all the Adam is Yotze, B'sikasa Shechavera.
Right. So is it possible we only permit Sh'ula, not Gzula, based on that Pasuk? He doesn't make a drasha Tase Lacha at all. What does he do with the word Lacha there? Was this according to the up here? We never address this point. Shem Chovcha, Mukte Gezula, Tuxil Gezula. So we are excluding Gezula from here. And Tosas asks here, is why not also take Mitzvah Baba Vera and Echanamim? We are using the word Lacha to exclude Gezula.
According to Rabbanan, Lacha is, even though they hold Adam Yotzei B'Sukkah Soshah Chavera, it would still be with my
I think so, yeah. Good morning. Yeah, because the Gemara there at the bottom of the Daf Tes, it refers back to the Gemara of Zion and Bez. That's coming back to me a little bit. There. Okay, we'll have to come back to it, I guess. Here we go. Yeah, so right, smack them on Chav Zayin and Beis. The Gemara quotes Rabban Hai Lacha Mai Darish Bei Mibayle Lemute Gzula. My first Gemara in Chav Zayin and Beis. Smack them all. So there you go. But Sheula that he permits because the Pasuk says Kol Ezrach. The Gzula is excluded because of Tasa Lacha. Okay, so that all makes sense.
Even if they hold it, Adam Yatsu Bidei Chaz Circle of Shalar, it's only
Sheula.
Right.
Okay. But anyways, we see this is Machlokas. Finally figured it out. Rabbi Elazar versus Chachamim. Why they're arguing about it is a stolen sukkah. And specifically when you take the guy out of the sukkah, throw him out, and he sits in the sukkah. You sit the friend's sukkah. So the Gemara says now, Aval, let's see, again, Rabbanan Taimai, Dem Amar Adam Yotei Dechavas B'sukkah, Sashachaveh V'karkin Nigzas B'sukkah Shulei. Aval Gazel Eitzim, let's say I steal my friend's wood. I go to his backyard, take some of the logs, v'sichach bahen, and then I put schach on top of them, Divrei Hakol ein lo elo d'mei etzim. Everybody agrees that all you have to owe him back is money. So you pay him back the money. The Gemara says, you look at Rashi, aval gazel etzim v'sichach bem, ein zu lo gezula v'lo shula. This is not considered stolen. This is not considered borrowed. The kenenehu b'shinoi ma'isa b'shinoi Hashem. Because since I did an action, I took the wood, I fashioned it, I made it into my sukkah, my schach, my walls, and I changed the name from wood to now schach, shinoi ma'isa shinoi Hashem. So the gazel now owns it. So I owe the back. When it comes to gzela, there's a certain point when you do a certain amount of actions, the gazel actually owns it. So I could go to your backyard, David, and take your wood. I could chop it up and make it into walls. Through that ma'isa, I own the wood. All I owe you back is money now, the loss I caused, the fact that I stole from you, but I actually own this wood as schach or as walls.
So is it kosher?
Ah, so the Gemara says... you need yish plus one of the shinoi from shinoi ma'isa and either shinoi ma'isa or shinoi Hashem. Though it's mashia from Rashi, however, that he says both shinoi ma'isa and shinoi Hashem. In the Rashi aval, he seems to not even address the issue of yish there. You say Rashi aval gazal etzim. It's aval gazal etzim sichach bem ein do lo gzulav lo shula de kenenehu b'shinoi ma'isa v'shinoi Hashem. Doesn't even address yish. So. It's possible if you have both mice, both those mice and shinoi Hashem, that might be enough to substitute for yish. It's based on Gemara's and Baba Kama and Tosas, a long Ramban there. I don't remember all these things. So the Gemara says, so all I have to do is return money. I stole the wood from you. I owe you money, but I actually own the wood. It's my sukkah, so you're yotze in such a sukkah. So the Gemara, you are right. So fine. The Gemara asks now. Now, mimai mitikasani is mimai. So Gemara was mimai. We're asked, from how do you know this? Mimai what? Look at Rashi, a little bit lower down on the Rashis. It's around 15 narrow lines up. Rashi said, mimai dibigzelas karka pligi vitaima deshula.
Where is the
Rashi? Rashi, it's around 15 narrow lines up. It says the word mimai. So Gemara asks this question, just mimai. So what's the question? So Rashi explains, the question is, how do you know that the machlokas above between the Chacham and the Rabbi Eliezer was about a stolen sukkah and the reasoning about how they understand shu'ula, whether or not you're allowed to use a borrowed sukkah or not? How do you know that machlokas was about this? The Gemara explains as follows. Because the fact that that statement we had above was, Bryce said, sukkah gzula ha-mesachek b'rishis rabim. What's the connection of a sukkah gzula to rishis rabim? So the Gemara explains. Midikasani do mid Rishis Rabim. The fact that they couple them together with Rishis Rabim, ma Rishis Rabim karka lav di dehu. Just like the street, I don't own the ground. I can't just plop my sukkah down in the middle of the street. So too, sukkah nami lav karka di dehu. So too, we're talking about a sukkah that was not ours. So some want to prove from here, by the way, that when it comes to the definitions of the sukkah, we spoke about many times in the past, certainly the schach is an ikkar part of the sukkah. And then we had machlokas showing whether the defanos, the walls, were also part of the shame sukkah. Some go so far to say that even the karka is part of the sukkah as well. You need all surroundings. Others say, no, the fact you need a karka because you need a floor, but not that that's part of the sukkah, that's just the metzius, you can't have a sukkah without a ground. And once you're using a ground, so it can't be stolen. But that's not part of the shame sukkah. While others say, no, the karka is, in fact, part of the shame sukkah. So the Gemara goes on and says, Hahi Sabasa, there's an elderly lady, to us the Kamidir of Nachman, once went to Rav Nachman, and Amru Le Reish Kalusa, and she said to him, Reish Kalusa, V'chula Rabbanan, the Bei Reish Kalusa, the Reish Kalusa, and all the various Tamidim, and the Rabbanan who were there, B'sukkah Gzula Havayasu, and they were sitting in a stolen sukkah. Why are they sitting in a stolen sukkah? So Rashi explains right below the previous Rashi, Hahi Sabasa, the Gazlumi Menu Av De Reish Kalusa, Eitim V'sachachu Bahem, that the servant of the Reish Kalusa, of the household, stole from her wood and made a sukkah. And Rashi, the Dik and Rashi, V'sachachu Bahem, they use it as schach, not using it as walls. It might be different only for schach, it might work maybe not for the walls. But it's very interesting, the Av De Reish Kalusa, you see throughout Shas, you remember the Gemara's in Pesachim, the first parak, the Avdei Reish Kalusa were not the best of people. They didn't always follow the halacha. There's a one story where they once tricked, I think it was Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was blind. They tried tricking him and eating some Aver Menachai, or remember this case, right? And he said, I'll prove to you that they're stealing and they're taking Aver Menachai. So how are you going to prove it? So he says, I forget the whole maisa, but he brought an animal of four legs and five legs, and where'd you get the fifth leg from? Remember this maisa, right?
Yeah.
So either way, the Avdei Reish Chalusa were not so yasher. And a number of Gemaras like this. So anyways, they stole from this elderly lady, and she was saying, the Reish Chalusa and his whole entire base medrash is just sitting in a stolen sukkah. So Tzavcha, the Gemara says, she started screaming, V'lo Ashkech Bei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman didn't really care. He completely turned away, ignored her screams. So Amrilei Issa, Dehavalei Lavua, so the lady says, Dehava Leavua Tlas Meva Tamni Sara, Avde. So their father had Tlas Meva, 300 of it, Tamni Sara, 18, 318 Avde servants. Tzavcha Kamai V'lo Ashkech Bei, and no one's listening to me. What's he talking about, a father having 318 servants? So Rashi explained, La'avua, referring to Avram Avinu, Yelidei Beisel, Shmona Asar V'Shlosh Meos, the 318 members of his household. So unclear exactly what she was screaming, but she was basically screaming that you guys come from Avram Avinu, and you're stealing from the sukkah my wood, and you're making it into a sukkah.
Her mother now, it's her mother now, her father.
She was saying, she was calling to her own father, saying? To
my father, I'm Yuchus, I'm from Avram.
So they thought she was a guy, I guess?
No, I have yichus. I have yichus.
They all had yichus, though. They all said yichus. So why is she saying herself? Why did she have yichus more than them? Yeah, she's talking to about herself. Let's see.
She just felt she was getting mistreated because there were less than there. She's saying, here you have a woman with his father, 318 slaves.
I see, yeah. So you're right. So she was saying how chashiv, what kind of yichas she has, and look at me, and you're treating me like a piece of garbage, so that's not very nice of you. So treat me with some respect. I'm also a Jew, and you should treat me properly. So she screamed in front of them, and nobody paid attention. Right, tavcha kamaychu v'lo ashkecha bein, and I'm screaming in front of you guys, and nobody's paying attention to me. So Gemara says, what's the response? Amar lahu, Rav Nachman says back to them, Piusuahi da, she's just a yeller. Come on, don't pay attention. Kolonisi, she just screams and yells. Vein la'el adme eitzim bavad, just give her back her money, but we own it because you took her wood. You changed, you did a shina maisi, you did a shina shem to it. So it's completely ours to you. Just pay her back the money that she deserves. Interesting maisa. Okay. Gemara says now, I'm a Ravina. Ravina says, Hai Kishura.
Why Rav Nachman needs to pay her? Came
to complain about someone else. Somebody else. Well, Rav Nachman, I think, was a son-in-law of the Reish Chalusa, if I remember correctly. He was part of the Reish Chalusa house. Remember this, no? I believe he was a son-in-law. We saw this Rashi pretty recently about that. Maybe it was in the beginning of Sukkah. Here. Yeah, Rav Nachman was the head of the entire house of Reish Chalusa. He wasn't the Reish Chalusa, but he was the head of the whole entire Reish Chalusa. We saw this earlier. Rav Nachman was the Av Bezdin of the Reish Chalusa, not necessarily the son-in-law. I think maybe the son-in-law also. But they quote from the Rashi earlier in Daf Yud Amud Beis that he was the head of the entire household. So he had what to do with the Reish Chalusa, so he was responsible. So the Avadim, who he's responsible over, were the ones who went out to steal the wood. Says the Gemara now, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Hai Kshura, Dimitalalsa de Gzula of Dila Rabbanan Takanta Mishum Takanas Merish. So Gemara says, Hi Kishur, what's a Kishur? Rashi says. It's a type of beam. Rashi doesn't say what kind of beam it is. But you take a piece of wood, a beam, for the schach, and that you stole. Rabban made a special takana of takanas meresh that if you build it as part of the building, we don't make the gazan take down the entire building because he's never going to pay back. So really what happens when you steal something, you have to pay back the object. So I steal David's tree, I got to return the tree to him. But if I took the tree and I made a whole building out of this tree now, so the Chachamim felt that there's no way I'm going to return the tree. I'm not going to knock down my building, I'll give you back your pieces of wood. So he made a special takana that you could keep the wood and just pay you back the money that you deserve.
And if you stole the wood to begin with, is the way that you pay the money?
If I stole the wood and didn't do anything with it,
you're going to have anyway.
No, wait, the guy wanted to do tshuva. The person wanted to do tshuva. So I stole the pieces of wood in the backyard and never did anything with them. I have to return the pieces of wood. But if I built a building, a house with it, Chum knew I'm not going to knock down my building. I want to do tshuva, but I don't really want to do tshuva. So they thought it's going to deter people from doing tshuva. So, you know, just give back the money for your tree, the $500 for your tree, and then we'll call it a, you know, call it a day. So the Gemara says again, so Gemara says, pshita, of course, the same halacha applies. Ma'ishna me'etzim. Why is it any different than the etzim? Just like the case above, that Rav Nachman said that you could keep the wood and use it for your sukkah, and you don't have to take it down, just pay back the money. So to a kshur, a beam, also you're allowed to keep and just pay back the money. So Gemara says, no, there's a difference, because mal detema etzim shchichin. No, wood is different. So, okay, so I keep the wood for myself. I pay her back money. She'll go out and buy wood for herself. It's not such a big deal for her. She'll do a little bit of tircha, but she'll get the wood in the end of the day. Aval hai lo shchicha. But when it comes to these beams, these types of wood of kshur, which are special beams, so you have to have them specially made, I guess. So hai lo shchicha, it's not hard for her. It's very hard to find. So if I pay back the money to a person who I stole the beams from, they're going to have a very hard time going to Home Depot finding the proper beams. So maybe aim low. Maybe you wouldn't apply that takana, and we would say, knock down your building, give them the proper beams, because they're not going to find the beams back. Kamash v'lan, even in such a case where the type of material is very uncommon, we still allow the ganav or the gazan to keep the wood and keep the beams and just pay back the money. So the Gemara says now, Hani Mile, the above discussion about the relating to the sukkah of Nachman, that we said keep the wood and pay back the lady the money, Hani Mile bego shiva. That's only referring to within the 7 days of Sukkot. But after Sukkot is over, after the 7 days of Sukkot, so I don't need the Sukkot anymore. I'm going to take down the Sukkot anyway. So then you could return the wood back. But only during Sukkot, when I'm being mekayim the mitzvah, I'm not going to take down my Sukkot. Then I could pay back with money. But if it's after Sukkot, I take down the Sukkot, give them back the wood. The Gemara says, v'chavra b'tina. But if, however, you fasten them with tina, with some type of cement, to keep them strong, then even after Sukkot, since you did something to the beams, the walls, you strengthened them together. Let's say you took a number of boards of wood and you cemented them and nailed them together as a large piece of large wall now, then we won't require you to take it down after Sukkot. You could keep that entire wall and just pay back the money. The point being, anytime there's too much tircha for the gazan to do tshuva, so then we allow him to keep the material and just pay back the money. And if there's not too much tircha, then we say pay back the initial items. Gemara says, now it goes back to a different discussion, going back to the lulav and esrog. Gemara quotes a brisa that says, Tana yavesh pasal Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Let's say you have a yavesh what? Does it say lulav or esrog here? I think it's talking about lulav here. Because we know it's pashut that an esrog is yavesh is pasal because yavesh, the pasuk says, creates hadar, has to be hadar. That's to exclude a yavesh esrog. What about a lulav? So Gemara records to Machlokas whether or not a lulav yavesh is possible or not. So Gemara says, Amar Rava Machlokas belulav. The whole discussion here is regarding a lulav. Dirabanan sabri makshina lulav esrog. So they have a hekesh, just like a esrog requires to be a lach. It can't be yavesh, so to lulav, because of the hekesh. Ma esrog bay hadar, af lulav bay hadar. Just like esrog is hadar, so to lulav is hadar to exclude yavesh. Rabbi Yehuda savra lo makshina lulav esrog. We don't have such a hekesh. About the esrog divrei akol hadar b'ina, and everybody agrees that a esrog requires hadar, but the pasuk says hadar. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of such a gzeir shava. It's a very important Rashi tosus here. Look at Rashi, three wide lines down in Rashi. Dibur maskil lo makshinan. Lo makshinan, says Rashi, lo hukshu lumo zemizeh. He didn't have such a hekesh. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham, whether they made a hekesh of lulav to esrog. Why? Lo niten lidros me'atzma mikol yud gimel midos sha Torah yedreshed behem ela kal v'chomer. Very interesting Rashi. We have in Shas, we have 13 different midos. Different midrashim have more midos, but they're basically 13 midos that you could be darish the Torah in. Exactly. So we know there's two of them we know. The Gemara tells us that gzer shava ain't adam dung gzer shava me'atzma ela mirabo. I can only make a gzer shava. We mentioned this the other day. Only if I have a Masorah of the Gezer Shava can I make such a Gezer Shava. I can't create my own. We have another Gemara that tells us that a person is able to make his own Kal V'Chomer. So, what about everything in between? Gezer Shava I can't make, Kal V'Chomer I can make. What about a Hekesh? Hekesh is somewhere in the middle. So Rashi tells us, the only thing you're allowed to do is a Kal V'Chomer. Everything else, the other 12, you cannot do on your own. You need a Masorah.
What is the other
12? Oh. What do you have to, Rabbi Shmuel? Yeah. So, only Kal V'Chomer can be done on its own, nothing else.
What's in between?
Hekesh, Klal Prat. Yeah, Rabbi Shmuel. I can't say all of them all.
Hekesh doesn't mention Rabbi Shmuel.
Is that mentioned? No?
No. Look it up.
Let's see. I don't have a sitter here. It could be it's a different list. In Echanami, it's a different list.
I'll
look. Okay. So, so Tosos takes issue with his Rashi, and he says that you look in Tosos, Dibur Maskil Rabbi Yehuda Savar Lo Makshin Lulav LeEsrog. He quotes Rashi, which kind of jumped down when he quotes Rashi. Actually, no, let's read Rashi. We'll read through the whole thing. What are we doing with time right now? Ooh, not so much time. Okay. So he basically argues and says that no, a Hekesh can be done on a person's own. The only thing that cannot be done is Gzeir Shavah is the only thing that cannot be done on its own. The complete opposite is Rashi. But the other 12 all can be done, can be made on anybody. Me'atzma, a person can make them. And the Machlokas here is based on Svara. It's not there?
No, it's not
that. Okay. So, okay. Hekesh is certainly a drush. It might be included in one of the other ones. But okay, it's a good question. Very good question. So, very good. Very good. So, you have to figure out what Rashi is referring to then. But it's certainly a drusha, whether it's the 13 or not, or it's on a larger list, it's definitely a drusha. So anyway, Tosa says a person can make a hekesh on his own. The machlokas here is whether or not you have it's a machlokas about svara. That's what Tosa writes. But again, a very interesting machlokas about the various drushas. So then the Gemara says, Ubalulav lo by Rabbi Huda Hadar? Is it really true that Rabbi Huda does not require hider by lulav? Does Rabbi Huda really permit you to use a dried out lulav? V'hatsanan, the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Huda Omer yagdenu milamala. We said in the Mishnah that if the leaves start to spread apart from the lulav, you're supposed to wrap them together from the top. So Gemara says, why do you have to do that? My time, Allah mishum debay hader. The reason why you tie them back so they go up straight and straight up, is that not because of hider? So you see that Rabbi Huda does require hider. Gemara says, no, lo, that's not the reasoning why. Kitagasani taima, the reason is because Rabbi Huda omer mishum Rabbi Tarfon kapos tamarim. Pasuk says, that's the reference to lulav. Kapos, you're supposed to have it tied together. Vim hayapard, and if it is separate, yekaftenu, you're supposed to tie them together. So it's not because of hider. There's a special drasha that kapos means to wrap them together. They should be all clinging together, not a din of hider, a din in the word kapos. Gemara says, "Vlo by hider." Ask another question: does Rabbi Huda not require hider by lulav? I'll bring another rye that he seems to hold of hider. V'hatsnan, the Mishnah tells us, "Ein ogdin es halulav el bimino divrei Rabbi Huda." When you do the egged, Rabbi Huda requires that you have to wrap together. Exactly, that's an egged. You have to wrap together the three or the four minim together. So, what are you supposed to use? You could only use the same type. The way we use is dried out lulav leaves. You could use hadassim and aravos also in theory, if that would work. But we use the same min. You have to use the same min according to Rabbi Yehuda. So, what's the reasoning? You can use it for schach, yeah, certainly. It grows from the ground, and it's not makabel tuma, yeah. So, Gemara says, my time, what's the reasoning why you have to use the same min? Lav mishum debay hadar? Is it not because you have to have hitter? It looks much nicer when it has the same min. It's prettier that way. As opposed to using something different, it looks strange. So it's because of hitter. So we see Rabbi Huda does require hitter by lulav. Says the Gemara, no. Lo, de ha'amar Rava, afil besiv. That's not true. Because Rava held afil besiv, afil beikara de diklav. Even parts of the lulav tree that are not so beautiful. See, Rashi says, three lines from the bottom, Afilu besiv hagedel svivos hadekov nirchach svivav kein lulav egifanim. I think on the bottom of the trees, the palm trees, I think Ezra was telling the palm trees have some like leaves that grow from that also, part of the tree. You're allowed to use those sieves. And then Rashi continues, Vafilu beikar didiklav minaklipa, even the shell. Afa Pirashi says Shein Marein Domilamar Halulov, even though it doesn't look like the Lulov, it's still same min. Osa min. So we see even though it doesn't look good, it looks very strange using the parts of the tree, but it comes from the same tree, it's part of the same min, so it's not a din hider. So we see Rabbi Huda does not require hider. So then the Gemara says, Vela Mai Taima. So what's the reason Rabbi Huda the Rabbi Huda? Why does Rabbi Huda require the same min? If it's not because of a hider, so why the same min? So Gemara explains, Hasam de kasavar lulav tzarech eged. Rabbi Yehuda held that you must have an eged. And if you don't have an eged, it's possible. Now once you have to have an eged, v'maisam mina achrina, if you bring another type, then habalei chamisha minim. And then you bring, let's say,
gold chain.
Gold chain, let's say, as part of it. So you end up, you're carrying five minim now, And five minim is possible. You need to have four minim only, not five minim. Five minim would be an issue about Tosef. It's a deraisa, and you wouldn't be mekayim mitzvah of sukkah.
Is it, for example, you bring a gold chain? Is it domen? Is it not somech? Is that considered a min?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll actually talk about later. We saw this already later on?
Grapevine,
right? Right, grapevine, exactly, if you want just to be Mekayim that. But Gemara later on talks about using very nice, I think even a golden handle, it talks about using that, whether that's a chatzitza or not. You have a nice min, and then you have an extension as like a golden handle. Is that allowed to be used as part of the handle of the lulav? The Gemara addresses that at some later point in the Masechta. So Gemara says, now, Ube esog mi bai Rabbi Yehuda hadar. So we said above, everybody agreed that both esog, that esog requires hadar. The only debate was about lulav. So, is it really true the Gemara is challenging? Does Rabbi Yehuda really require an esrog to be hadar, to be so beautiful? If hatana, doesn't the Braisa teach us? Our bas minim shibululav, the four minim of lulav, kishem shein pochs and mehen, kachin mosif and alen, just like you cannot take away any, you can't have three or two or one, you have to have four, so you can't add, you can't have five, six, or seven. Now, let's say the Braisa says, lo matzah esrog. Let's say you can't find an esrog, which was very common in Europe. You couldn't get, or certainly in the Holocaust, you couldn't find an esrog. So what are you supposed to do? Maybe you should have a lemon. So lo yavi parish, lo yavi, lo rimon, lo davar acher. Don't bring anything else. You're not allowed to use it. It's only an esrog. You can't replace it at all. Kamushin. Let's say it's very withered, but not quite dried out yet, but it's on the way out. Does that have a picture of kamushin versus yavish? Is it kamushin?
No.
This is talking about a lulav, though. Interesting. Okay, kamushin is on the way out. It's not yet dry, but it's getting a little bit dry. So if it's kamushin, that's ksherim. If it's yuvashin, it's mamash dried out completely, that's pasul. Comes along with Yehuda. Yehuda omer af yuvashin. Even the dried out lulav, a dried out esog for our purposes, even a dried out esog would be permitted. Is that a picture of kamushin versus yuvashin? No? No, okay. What's this here?
Kamushin about...
this is yavesh. Okay, so I'm not sure. Okay, that's kamushin. Okay, that's less dry than you. Okay, so if it's kamushin, that's kosher. If it's yevashin, it's pasul according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says even yevashin is kosher. So we see Rabbi Yehuda does not require hidr by an esrog. The very fact that he permits you to use an esrog that's yevashin, he clearly doesn't hold of hadar. And the Gemara says further, Rama Rabbi Yehuda Maisa. There's once a story that happened. Bivnei Krachim, the people of the cities that they didn't, Rashi says, they lived in the city, She'ain Darim Alam Malkam Pardesan. They didn't have any orchards to get esrogim from. Vein Dekalim Mitzvim Shram, they had no esrog trees. You live in the big city. Sometimes you think of everything. You don't have a basic mitzvah of the esrog. So what happened? So Bivnei Krachim, Shayu Marishnes Lulavayim, Livnei Bneim, they would inherit their lulavim from children to children to grandchildren. They had no other trees to use. Apparently, Ramosha Feinstein in Europe, in Russia, I guess, he had the same lulav from year to year. He kept the same lulav. He kept it high up so no mice or anyone would get to it. He let it stay there and hanging in his shul or something, and he would use it from year to year because to get a lulav wasn't very easy where he lived, I guess. So they had it even further. That was within one generation, but here they pass it on from generation to generation. So
For so many years.
So that's the point. So Rabbi Yehuda permitted you to use a dried-out lulav, a dried-out esrogosa, he would say. So, the Gemara says, no, Amru lehem, misham raya, bring me a raya from there? Ein shasa dechak raya, you can't bring me a raya from a shasa dechak lulavim, so you get a lulav, you do the best you can. Okay. But either way, katani mias, what comes out of this whole brice is that Rabbi Yehuda omer, af yevashin ksherin, even dried out esog is permitted. And we said before that Rabbi Yehuda held you require a hadar, yavesh esog is pasul. So to steer within Rabbi Yehuda, does he allow you to use a dried out esog or does he not allow you to use a dried out esog? And the Gemara says, "My lava esrog." Is he not referring to when he says the yevashin or ksherim? Is he not referring to an esrog, or is it lolo alulav, referring to a lulav? For a lulav, he permits you to have a dried out lulav, like we said above. When it comes to an esrog, even Rabbi Yehuda requires you to have hadar by an esrog. Gemara says now, "Amar Mark, shame shein pochs and mehen kachin mosif and alen." Just like you can't remove any of the four minim, you need four no less, so you can't add on any minim. Marsha's pshit, that seems pretty obvious. Smell the same, ahol v'amar Rabbi Yehuda lulav tzarech eged. So it seems pretty obvious. So what would you have thought since Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav requires an eged? You have to wrap it around together. All three of the four minim have to be wrapped together. V'maisa min achrina, and if you bring another min, So if I don't have an esrog, so I bring a lemon instead. Well, the lemon only wraps around the three, the lulav, the hadas, and the ravos. So the esrog is going to stand alone. So it's not going to be a problem. I have those three minim here, and I have a lemon in my other hand. So that won't be a problem. Gemara says, kamash malam, even then, Rabbi Yehuda will require you to, even then he'll think it's going to be possible. Because again, if you hold, according to the Chachamim, that you don't require an eged, so even though you might have an eged, we still view them all as all being separate. The lulav, the hadas, and the ravos are all separate, even though you hold them together. So if you add a lemon, that's going to be problematic as well, because they're all standing separately anyways. But according to, yeah?
Well, you don't need egg, but you're holding five meaning, right?
According to Rabbanan, even if you have egg, I still think you view the three as being separate. So for them, it will be a problem.
But they're together. You're holding five together.
You're holding them together. But now, here's not five. Here, let's say you don't have an esrog, but you use a lemon instead. So will we view the lemon as being part of the other three or not? So if you hold, you don't require an eged. So the three others are really separate anyways. So if I put a lemon there also, there'll be four that are together because you don't require it together anyways. The fact that they're next to each other will be considered together. Right. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who requires the three to be wrapped together, so I bring a lemon, well, the lemon's not going to affect the other three because it's not within the wrap. That's the havmina to think that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to use a lemon in case instead of an esrog. Kamash Milan, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara doesn't explain why. I think the Ritva explains what the Kamash Milan is, the Svar of the Kamash Milan. But the Kamash Milan is that no, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot use. The Gemara explains why. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain that. The Gemara is going to explain something else. Okay. Kamash Milan, that you cannot bring another min in. So the Gemara says now, Amar Mar. Lo matza esrog. Let's say you cannot find an esrog. Lo yavi, lo rimon, lo parish, lo davar acher. You can't find anything. You can't find an esrog. You can't replace it with a lemon or anything else for that matter. Gemara says pshita. It seems pretty obvious. Of course you can't replace it. Why would you be able to? Malvutema laisi kiyechet shel tishach tars esrog. Maybe you should bring one so you person shouldn't forget. What's going to happen this year? They're going to go to shul. They're only going to have three minim. They're going to have the lulav, a dasim, and a ravos, and no esrog. And next year, they're going to say the same thing. Just like last year, we had three minim this year also. So maybe you should bring a lemon this year. So for next year, they're going to say that, oh, we had four minim last year, we need four minim this year. So that's what you might have thought. The Gemara says, no, kamash malon, zimnin denafik churva minay da'asul mishach. Problem is, in that case, it might create a worse problem, because they're going to say, oh, last year we used a lemon, let's use a lemon again this year, even though there might be an esrog available. And then they're going to go on and on having lemons using for esrog and no esrog. So it's better for you not to use anything than to use something that's incorrect. Now, various achorim make a deek here. It sounds like, however, if you're missing the esrog, you are still allowed to use the other three minim that you have. Or let's say you only have, let's say you're missing a lulav. You couldn't find a lulav, like we had the story above. It was very hard to find a lulav. But you had an esrog and hadas meravos, so it sounds like you could bring three of the four minim. You just can't bring a wrong replacement, but whatever you have, even though you don't have the full four, you could still bring whatever you do have. Says the Gemara now, Tashma, Esrog HaYoshein, Pasul, and Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. So this price says that an old Esrog is Pasul according to the Chachamim, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Kasher. Tiyufta the Rava Tiyufta. Because above, Rava had said that even Rabbi Yehuda required you to have a Hadar by Esrog. Even he Pasul a Yavish Esrog. But here this price clearly says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he permits you to use an old esrog. So this is just a tiyufta. It seems like there's a machlokas in the brises, at least Rava's understanding, whether Rabbi Yehuda permits you to use an old esrog or not. Lo by hadar. So does Rabbi Yehuda not require hadar?
I forgot, what is it, only by lula? Does he require hadar? He doesn't make a hekesh?
Right, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, you do not require hadar by lulav.
And you don't have hadar by
now, according to this Bryce, at least, you don't require one. Rava thought that you did require one. So there's machlokas how to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion within esrog. So Gemara says, could you really say that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of hadar by esrog? Lo by hadar, he doesn't require hadar by esrog? We have a mission that says, Hayarak kikarsi, Rabbi Yehuda Meir machshir, Rabbi Yehuda poso. When you have a green esrog, Rabbi Meir permits you to use a green esrog. Rabbi Yehuda says, you cannot use a green esrog. La mishum debay hadar, because the green esrog, it looks gross. Look at the green esrog. It's so dark. It doesn't look like a very nice esrog. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's pasul. Is it not because he requires hadar? Or says, no, nothing to do with the color. Who cares about the color? It's not because of that. Lo mishum de lo gamar piri, because the fruit is not completely ripe yet. That's why it isn't permitted. Nothing to do with the way it appears. In Echanami, Rabbi Huda doesn't require Hadar. It's a din in Gemar Pri. Apparently, there's an understanding of the Zohar. The Zohar seems to say that it's better actually to have a green Esrog than a yellow Esrog. The Achronim try to deal with this. The Gra writes that the people misunderstood what the Zohar was saying. Really, you're supposed to have a yellow Esrog. It's hard to, you can't really describe a color. So when it says, Kachal, it's like blue, it could sometimes mean green, blue, depending where you are. So whatever term was Yarok, is green, is that yellow? So the Gra says they misunderstood the Zohar. It really means it has to be yellow, not green. But others, I think, are makbid in having green esrogim because of the Zohar. Gemara says, Tashma, shir esrog, katan, the small size of esrog could be, it would be meir omer ke'egos, the size of a nut, it would be hud omer, but kebetz, a little bit larger like an egg. La mishim debay hadar, does he not require a larger shir because of it? It's so small like that? That's not a nice esrog, it's the size of an egg. That's something more substantial. Is it not because Rabbi Huda holds of hadar? La mishum debay hadar? The Gemara says, no, lo mishum de lo gemar piri. No, if it's so small, that's not considered fully ripe. That's not considered a fruit just yet. Nothing to do with hidder, has to do with being a shame pri. Tashma, the Gemara brings another Mishnah that says, ubegadol, how large a eso could you have? Kadesha yochis shnaim yada achas tivrei Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says, to hold two in each hand. If you can't hold two the same size in one hand, that's too big already. So it's not so large. It's probably the typical size of most esrogim you'll see around here. But then comes along Rabbi Yossi and says, Omer, afilu achas b'shtei yadav. Even though you have one, that one could be held in two hands. Someone early in Sukkot here in Eish was coming down the stairs, huge, the size of a watermelon. One of those Yemenite esrogim like that, he had a big, huge esrog. So Rabbi Yossi allows you to have a huge one. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it should be the size that we normally see, the size of probably two lemons, one lemon each. You could hold in one hand, two of them. That's the biggest size. So my time allowed me to buy hadar. Why did Rabbi Huda have such a small shear? Because he thinks it's because of hidder. If it's so big like a watermelon, that's not a nice esrog, he thinks. It has to be smaller. Mara says, lo, the reason is because kaven d'amar rabba lula b'yamin, the esrog b'smol. The reason why it doesn't allow you to have such a large esrog is because rabba holds, you're supposed to hold the lulav in the right hand with the hadassim revels, and the esrog is supposed to be in the left hand. And the zimin de machafule, sometimes you're going to switch hands, v'asalafchune, v'asalipsule, and then you're going to drop one of them and it's going to break. If it's so big, how are you going to transfer over the watermelon to your right hand and switch over the lulav? If you have a smaller size esrog, it's much easier to do. And it's really for those logistical reasons, as you say, have a smaller esrog, nothing to do with hidder. So Ella, if your Rabbi Huda doesn't hold of hadar, Ella the Rabbi Huda, haksiv hadar, doesn't the pasuk say hadar? So how could he completely ignore the word hadar in the pasuk? Creates hadar. Ahu hadar bilano mishana lashana. That word hadar means hadar, that which lives, not the hidder, but hadar, that lives, that is around from year to year. Rashi explains that the mehacha shmeinan de esrog amarkra, shein pri acher osakein. It comes from year to year. It was a perennial, I think they call it, perennial fruit that comes from year to year. This is something that's unique to the esrog. And more later on, darshans, what the word hadar is in a few other ways to darshan the word hadar. But according to Rabbi Huda here, at least, hadar means that comes back from year to year.
No, it stays in the tree.
The fact that it stays from year to year, not that it grows. So this actually stays from year to year?
It stays. I asked Esrog Farmer, he said, it stays into the summer. Those fruits fall off.
Mm-hmm.
When they're seasoned, they fall off. It stays, you have to pick it off.
Interesting. So you could just leave it throughout the winter also, or the winter probably will...
It starts drying up.
Uh-huh.
It starts drying up in the summer, but it stays...
Wow. So if you go like apple picking, most apples will be in the floor if it's in season. Right. Esrog, you're saying, won't be in the floor at all. You have to actually pull them off.
But some of them stay.
Uh-huh.
It didn't stay more than a year, you know, more than 15 months. Uh-huh. But it stays longer than most.
That's the point it means.
It dwells in the tree from year to year, from one season to next season, from one year to next year.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that's what he does with the word hadar. The thing Gemara says... quotes from the Mishnah, Shel Asher of Asher Nadachas. So we said in the Mishnah that if you had an Esrog from an Asherah tree, or if you had an Esrog from an Ir Nadachas, these are, or Lulav really we're talking about, these are Pasal Lulavim. Gemara says, Shel Asher Pasal, is it really true that a Lulav from an Asherah tree is Pasal? V'hama Rava, Lulav Shel Avodah Zarah Lo Yitel. A person ideally should not take a Lulav that was worshipped as a Avodah Zarah. Rashi says, that it's a case where you look right, lulav shel avodah zarah, shim shubo avodah zarah, you use it to serve it, lechabe lefnei karka, you use it to sweep the floor in front of it, it was shimish avodah zarah. For inami, Rashi suggests she avodasa belulav laavir lefanel ulzarkabo. It's some type of avodah zara that required you to throw the lulav out or to pass it in front of it. Somehow it was used for avodah zara. So Rava says you shouldn't take such a lulav. However, if you did take it, but yeah, it actually you were yod to the mitzvah. So how come our Mishnah says it's possible, and this statement of Rava says that you're kashub b'di'evid? Gemara says hacha here, and our Mishnah was talking about a special asherah de Moshe askinam, special asherah of Moshe Rabbeinu, diksuse mechsas shira that requires to be burned. Dekanami dekasani dumid irnadachas shmamina. The fact that it was lumped together with irnadachas, all the various nechasim of irnadachas have to be burned. So too, we're talking about lulav of an asherah tree that has to be burnt. Why is it called Moshe asherah de Moshe? So you look at Rashi. Rashi says that Moshe de Moshe asherah de Moshe. Those asher trees that they found while conquering Eretz Yisrael were the times of Yeshua ben Nun. She'etzrichon hakasav shreifa, that the pasuk required you to burn them. Dechsiv v'asherem tisru fun ba'ish. V'luv tzarech shir. V'hai k'man demechtes shirah kevin l'shreifa kai. So luv has to have a shir for tfachim, as we saw. We'll see it tomorrow, actually, for tfachim. So since a luv of an asher tree of Moshe Rabbeinu has to be burnt, it has no shir. So what do you mean? We're talking about Kivish Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, Moshe Rabbeinu never made it to Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't doing Kivish Eretz. So why we call it Asher de Moshe? It's really Asher de Yeshua it should be. So the Ritva explains here. I saw this quoted here. The Ritva says, okay. So, very very interesting. I think it's a Ritva, he quotes from here. That since the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klai Yisrael was Oved the Cheda Egel, so then this special taiva, this terrible taiva in the world, came for Avodah Zarah in the world at that moment. And because of that, all the Asherah trees that were done by the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael were Ki'ilu, their Nevdu, Ayde Yisrael, through Shlichus. I'm not sure, it sounds like a very deep point in the Ritva, not like the Ritva to say, but I think it's quoting the Ritva, that since when Klal Yisrael were over, they made the Chet Egel, that created this terrible taiva for Avodah Zarah. Throughout the world, they created this. So that made a taiva of Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. So all the Goyim who were doing Avodah Zarah in that time was really, as a result of the Chet Egel. That's why it came from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's called the Asherah de Moshe. That's what the Ritva explains.
It's Kasher.
Exactly. It only requires geniza. It doesn't require sreifa. So since it's geniza, it does have a shir and would be a b'dieved kasher lulav. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. Right, Dominic's